have a very important but sad subject to deal with today. I want to talk about the apostasy, the people that should preach the gospel and don't preach it, and men who are prepared to say they are fighting fundamentalists, and yet when it comes to a stand-up battle with the power of hell, they compromise. They give in for a quiet life. I want to say first of all that the articles that I am going to preach on are in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. And they are about those wicked cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah. And they're also about the efforts by the devil to kill off the people of God and to kill off the preaching of the gospel. And the sad thing that many have compromised and are not prepared to stand up for Jesus. If you would turn in your Bible to the wonderful book of Genesis, and then if you go over Genesis a little, you will come to that strange preacher and strange witnesser, Lot. And it's a wonderful study, the study of Lot. The morning dawned. In the Old Testament times, on the cities of the plain, even Sodom and Gomorrah, it was a sad thing, because there was the arsenal of evil and abominable beliefs and rebellion against God's recognized revelation. This was the battle day. The hour had drawn near, and we're upon it. The evil leader of the enemies of God's people has been stirred up, and he's seeking now the crown of the whole ancient world, and to attract to his banner the whole world, so that there will be a world religion, an antichrist religion, a religion that denies the truth of the inspired revelation of God the Holy Spirit. In a few short hours, the mighty war will start in deadly earnest. And the erstwhile defeated rebels have got together, and they're united to win the orders of the day. But like every place where the true and holy gospel is preached and defended. There are those who are against that gospel and are counterfeit preachers. I want to deal with the reaction of those that were true to the book and true to the blood. It's a sad world that we're looking down to. There's only one out-and-out man in this whole world, and that's the man called Abraham. He was indeed the friend of God. And his family were like a glowing fire burning amidst the darkness. But lined up with Abraham, there is another man, and that's a man called Lot. And he was related to Abraham, and he had a relationship, a close relationship, to the family. Alas, however, Lot did not live up to his generation and teaching, but mixed himself up in the great city of Sodom with Sodom's theology, which was a non-blood theology, and with the religion of sodomy, which was not the religion of the divine revelation. So there was a beating and bleeding sore in the very heart of the matter. One side, we had Abraham. On the other side, we had Lot. Abraham stood for separation, and he didn't get mixed up in the cities of the plain. But the other man took office in the cities of the plain. He became a judge in the cities of the plain. And also he allowed his family to enter into marriage ties with men who rejected the very heart of the gospel. So we have a sad situation, and we see a city, and strange to relate, in that city, the man Lot has gone. And he has taken office in that city. He's become a judge. He sits in the entrance to the city, a guarding angel, he's claiming, for the best thing for that city. But it was a devilish transaction and brought a terrible reaction upon those that wanted to see and hear the pure divine gospel. The skin worms had started their work, and soon the manifestation of a blighted revelation of the true testimony of the gospel broke out in the cities of the plain. And what was it? The victory was not gained. The blessings were not gained. The whole situation begat a whole series of men and of teachers who rejected the word of the living God. And the religion of Sodom and Gomorrah, which was a false religion, with a false theology, with a false form of priestcraft, reigned in full power in that city. A few hours before that city went into special conventions, the enemies of Israel, prepared by a troop of soldiers who were atheists, set up a relationship with Lot. And they got Lot the job of becoming a police head, a police chief. Think of it, a so-called godly fundamentalist preacher, the nephew of Abraham, and he's caught up in a blinding revelation and relationship of evil tied up in it. We need to remind ourselves that if you're going to do a work for God, it must be a separated work. You can't run with the devil and then claim to a Pentecostal power. You can't pretend to know the ways of the cross and the way that reveals the coming of Christ, and pretend that you can have your evil on the one hand, as this man Lot claimed, and not on the other hand. There must be a clear separation barrier. And over that barrier, no fundamentalist can go. And if he goes, he betrays his Lord and he sells out the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The enemy here in this world, we're tied on to the drowning mass of water that was around the city. The skinworms were not there to destroy it. In fact, they were there to maintain it. And so this whole area became soaked and saturated with a false gospel and with all the ungodliness of that false gospel. Before the day was going to turn, before the great mass of false apostles and prophets were shown to be members of the evil authority, those that reject the word of God, there was a crisis. Who was going to have the leadership. Before the day turn, before the night cometh on this day, the great mass of defeated enemies would send frantic messages to try and get everyone to join up and to close their eyes to the warning of eternity's loss. The sea had been turned into a hell's mitten for the doomed and damned of these men, false professors. And the multitude was manifest in its infidelity and in its reprobation against the truth of the gospel. The enemies of the damned caused the river to become the pet of a masterly prison. And instead of securing a refuge for the cities, it became an outplace where men were destroyed in their the men of that black, silenced majority. The trumpets that blew for a victory that could not be truthful or Christ-like or godly. It is wonderful to think of it. These cities that had a history, that now no history, that for a time accepted the truth taught to them by the old man Abraham. But where is that truth now? It is rejected and made sport of. The great man of death have melted away. The leader of the enemies have come forth to take over the leadership. And the chance of victory had slipped away forever. Sodom would be a dirty place. Gomorrah would be a dirty place, and nothing could change what had been willfully made by wicked man. The Almighty General, who was in charge of the army of the city, he thought he saw what was something for benefit and not for doom. But the walls of the rivers were wars not to keep the falling dirt out, but to close it in. And these cities became real vile offshoots of hell itself. And those that ran religion in those cities feared God, feared the truth, and feared all that came through the great man. And that great man was Abraham. But But you know, as we look at that, we need to take another look. And that is about the evil doing of those that were supposed to be serving God, but in reality were serving man. Lot was against godly Abraham and tuned up eventually with those who broke God's commandments. If ever there had been a false friend to Abraham, that false friend was Lot. And not only so, that at the end of the day, Lot turned out to be a traitor. And he himself cheers the way of evil and adultery in religious living. He was supposed to establish the truth, to turn his back upon those that were indeed idolaters. But instead, when he was thrust into Sodom, he gave himself the opportunity to try and convert. Think of it. To try and convert the population of Sodom and Gomorrah, not by having them converted to truth, but to have them follow the lie and go after what was a false, blasphemous religion, the religion of Babylon. What a position. The nephew of Abraham is not a defender of the faith. He is an offender in the faith. He has turned away. He not only had an enjoyable life when he was with the Lord's servant, the mighty Abraham. He had an opportunity to defend the truth, and the truth would make him free. But instead of that, he accepted the work of a judge. And he was a judge that was there to give false judgment, to sell out the truth of Abraham to the abomination of desolation, of the blasphemies that were taught as religion in Sodom and in Gomorrah. Abraham would have none of it. Thank God he was faithful. Thank God he was truthful. Thank God he would not bow the knee to Baal. But he had to pay the price. I'm sure as he sat in his tent and thought about the atmosphere outside, he must have wept. All his family had gone down the road to hell. And this nephew of his that he depended so much on had become a traitor and had sold himself out to evil. And Sodom and Gomorrah, instead of remaining firm in the truth, had turned aside to evil. And the two daughters that were still with Abraham, they had turned over to the filth of Babylonianism. What a situation for old man Abraham. You know, as I read this story, I say I must not in any way weaken the stand that the Bible took. You see, here comes along the devil, and the spokesman he has is no longer anyone else but this man, Lot. And he said, I have a gospel. He says it is an ancient gospel. It is a plausible gospel. And then under his breath, he said, I know it's a lying gospel. Here was a liar covering over the truth that makes free. And then he turns on the people and he said, what does my gospel do? He says, there's one thing. It comforts the wicked. He said, all these men on the streets and in the highways and byways, they are comforted by my gospel. They don't deserve to be comforted. They deserve to be damned. And then he said, there's something more. I encourage them, even though they have sinned and go on sinning, I'm encouraging them. You're better to be able to encourage them than to damn them. But the way of encouragement was the way of damnation. And then he says, my message is, hinder men from repentance. But who did they hinder? Nobody. Three people came out. There was Lot and his two daughters. And they were cursed with the curse of sin. They separated from God. They carried out shameful nakedness. They went for a religion that was irremediable. And they believed what was the delusion of hell. There are 45 reasons that should be remembered. And those 45 reasons are the reasons that men had to accept in the judgment day and by the power and help of God. And of course, the men that did the work, those men had to pay the price. What a vile compromise there was. And into it, this man was leading them. A man that claimed to be in the proper line of succession. But he was a traitor to religion, and a traitor to Christ, and a traitor to all that his uncle stood for, Uncle Abraham. And as we read down this portion, what do we find? We find that this was a way to damnation. And oh, what a sad day there is when the two women turn aside to evil harlotry. When the man who had left Babylon to go with his uncle Abraham turned and forsook Abraham and went following after Baal. And what was the end of it? A whole generation was torn asunder by the awful sins that were done. What a different it would have been if a full-orb gospeler had got into this place. A man who wouldn't compromise. But that man could not be found. And even Abraham did not go there. He avoided it. And he won a place of peace because he would not touch the unclean thing. We look out over the world tonight, and what do we see? We see a clear picture of modern Sodom, of modern Gomorrah, and of the cities of the Pleiades. Churches are destroyed by a false religion. Evangelists have no message because they've given up the gospel. The Bible is not taught. And many pulpits are echoes of the devil's view on the Bible. They're not preaching Christ, they're preaching devilry. And God has said that the punishment shall come to them. So as we look out over the world tonight, we can say, thank God, Christ is still on the throne. We can say, thank God, the Father is still on the throne. Thank God the Holy Spirit still rules in the hearts of blood-washed men and women. And what shall we do? We will open our mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. We will stand up for Jesus as soldiers of the cross. We will take the Bible and we will preach it without fear or favor. And we will seek the Lord while he may be found. And we'll call him while he is near. This is no time for standing back, holding up our hands and saying goodbye to the situation. Thank God, Christ is on the throne. Thank God, the Father rules. Thank God, the Holy Spirit is in the hearts of his people. Thank God, there is power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. Could I just repeat those lines? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything. God. So back to our knees, back to the upper room, back to Holy Ghost religion, back to a Bible that has no errors, but is true from Genesis to Revelation. Back to our Savior and our Lord, and back to old time preaching of the old time gospel. And if you today have been touched by the message, then go to your room, shut to the door, just whisper this prayer: I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flows on Calvary. And God will do it, and Christ will stamp it, and the Holy Spirit will secure it. Amen and amen.